Hello everyone, welcome all of you to Nikki Dahl Creative Presents Industry Leaders, where today I'm joined by Matt Dunn, who's Art Director at Goodby Silverstein and Partners. Welcome Matt, thank you so much for joining me this evening, slash your morning. So would you mind just quickly telling us a bit about yourself?
Yeah, so first of all, thanks for getting me on here. It's really nice to like chatting again. After we both like judged DNAD, that was really fun. As you said, I'm Matt. I'm currently working in San Francisco, but originally from the UK, Southwest, Gloucester. I don't know what to say. I'm like 31 years old. I mean, like, used to be a designer at a law firm, and we'll be touching upon that soon. And I work in advertising.
Right, so let's just dive straight into the question. So how did you start out your career as a creative?
This is gonna be a roller coaster for you. But basically, should we start from the jump from like university days? Like, would that be helpful?
Whenever. This could be at what point, even as a kid, you decided you wanted to become a designer, or like that, just that moment you thought to yourself, yeah, I want to become a creative.
Yeah, so basically my dad always used to draw, and he like passed on that kind of tracing over picture behavior to me. And I think that like installed in my head, like I love drawing from the get-go. So I did obviously art as a subject at school, and then went to a college, nothing like big, like no kind of fancy college, just a art college in Gloucester. And then basically worked in the supermarket for a couple of years just to earn a few bob, just so I could go to uni. And then I picked a course, illustration, because it's drawing. So these are really simple steps, like nothing, like I didn't really plan it out. I just liked to draw. And I picked Portsmouth because it was by the sea, and fish and chips. And so, yeah, I basically went to uni and did that, got a first class honours. Not that doesn't mean anything, just obviously went through uni. Then I did basically what anyone would do, is just look for a job, like, because that's what everyone comes out of uni thinking. It's like, okay, I need to get a job now, like anything, just I need money. So I came out of uni and like applied everywhere. Like it didn't matter what the company was. I just like sent out emails every day, like, because yeah, I just needed a job. And I ended up getting hired at a law firm as a designer. And at that point, I didn't really take into account like anything. I was just like, okay, this is for me, cool, let's just get a job as a designer. Like, and it's a funny transition, that, because it's like I went from drawing to learning how to like do Photoshop and InDesign. So it's kind of like applying those like visual skills into like digital skills. So basically I worked like as a designer for a couple of years, and it wasn't until I found a Twitter page called 1 Minute Briefs, and it's basically, it gives you 1 minute to like answer a brief that they put out on Twitter, and you basically like send in comps, send in visuals. I didn't know anything about advertising, didn't know it had like any kind of like association with advertising. I just basically was just like, oh, this looks fun. Like, because when I was like working at the law firm, I kind of felt like unfulfilled, because it was like quite a lot of suits. And at that point I had like a ponytail as well, so I kind of looked like a hippie. yeah, so basically I entered a 1 minute brief, and it was actually for like a full page print ad in Campaign magazine. And for some reason I won it, got a print ad out in Campaign magazine, and it was for their annual as well, for the December issue. And I was like, oh, this is kind of fun. Like, what is this advertising thing? Like, And then basically started to like really look into advertising, like so searching every single YouTube video, like any movies on advertising, any talks on advertising, any podcasts. Like I was just basically like found what I really like to do, as in like compact, like visuals, and just kind of like have ideas behind like designs. So I basically started to build a portfolio on the side of my job in the law firm, kind of like an advertising portfolio, like full of comps, full of like any ideas, and sent out emails during that time while I was working in a law firm to different like advertising agencies. Had no idea like what agencies were great. I was just like, oh, I really love this, like let's like just try, like let's reach out to people, let's talk to people, email different creative directors. Didn't really have like an idea of like which creative directors I really liked at that time. I just was just hungry to go into this business. And I didn't really want to go into like an advertising school, because I was like, at that time I was like mid-20s, and I was like, I don't want to go back to uni. Like, what's the point? Like, let's just do this the old school way and just reach out to people and be like, how do I get my foot in the door? Like, if that makes sense. Cause it's like, I've already, in my mind, I was like, I've already been to university. Why do I need to go again? Like, it just didn't make sense for me. And plus it would break the bank. Like, so, yeah, basically, I got like an internship at VCCP, and it was only 2 months. And so I packed my full-time job in for a 2-month internship. Kind of crazy, but it kind of made sense to me, because it's like, if I at least had 2 months experience like working advertising, why not give it a shot? Like, it just made sense. Like, so I got an internship at VCCP, packed my bags in from the law firm, moved to London, was like, let's try this out. And then after 2 months at VCCP, like they couldn't extend me. And during that time, I was like, obviously talking to other agencies, trying to get like another internship. So I had like an internship at Publicis, and it was kind of like one of those, like 1 month we'll extend you again. So basically, it's kind of funny, because like, supposedly, like basically they had like a pitch for Coca-Cola at Publicis. So I basically was just like trying to like sell in ideas for this pitch. Like I was just like doing all nighters, being like, oh, like just passing ideas along to the creative director. And she picked one of the ideas which ended up winning the pitch, which then got me hired, which is kind of cool. Like it was just like a really nice thing to happen. So I ended up working at Publicis for like a year as a junior art director or art director on Coca-Cola, as well as like Morrison's and different accounts. Like, and then at that time in that year, I was like, it was weird. I was like having like a really creative like itch, because I was like, oh, I want to do something more. Like I kind of wanted to like just do some work like that I was like feeling that's like cool. So that's when I started like a side project, the graffiti condom stuff. Yeah, and that kicked off everything else. Did you want me to talk about that, or did you want to like...
Yeah, I've got questions anyway to ask you about the condom project. And I really like your story, Matt, because any junior that's tuned in at the moment needs to know about these things, like 1 minute brief, and how even if they haven't got a job right now or an internship, there's things that you can do where you're proactively creating. And if anyone is tuning in, that's the best advice I could give, is at this time, keep creating, even if you're not getting work, because that's still stuff you can put in your portfolio. And as a designer and as a creative, it doesn't have to be commercial work for an agency that you're getting paid for. It can just be your ideas. And that's a really nice story about yourself. So I said the fact you worked at a law firm, then you discovered advertising through that on Twitter. And then that led you to where you're at now in your career. It's all those steps, and there's not always a straight, easy route to get into that industry or advertising. But so let's go into your side hustle. Like, tell us about that and what happened.
Yeah. So just to basically, I agree with what you said about like the 1 minute briefs. I feel like it's just such a good platform, like even without advertising experience, because like it's interesting because they actually like get brands in, like, so you actually get like more of a like a broader audience. Like, I think one lad did like a fake Guinness ad that Guinness ended up actually running on their social media, like, and it's like just that like proactive like moment, like it's kind of like you end up having something like book worthy, which is like really interesting. It's kind of like it's just like, just give it a shot if you have time, and it actually kind of makes you like feel good about yourself as well, because you're feeling like people like your stuff, or you're actually getting like different comments being like, what if you did this, what if you did that. It's a really good community, and people chip in as well, like, to go back to like the condom stuff, so when I was like a publicist, I had this idea of like seeing a graffiti penis on a wall in front of like kids, like by a bus stop, and I was like, like as a kid, I don't know what went through my head. I was like listening to like some Stone Roses song, and I was like, why is this penis unprotected, like on a wall? Like, why is it just like left out? Like, and I just, I had a weird idea of like, why don't we just put some graffiti condoms over them? Like, just to raise awareness about like sex and sexual like protection and everything like that. So it's kind of like a backwards way of doing it, because I didn't really think of an insight and then like an overall idea. It's more like idea. I thought of the idea and then like the insight came after. So I had this idea of like, yeah, why don't we just like go around London protecting these like unprotected graffiti penises. Really bonkers. I had this idea of like, what if it was like an anonymous person as well, which like people love like this anonymous shit. Like, I mean, especially with Banksy, it's like, who is it? Who's doing this? Like, it's just a weird thing. So I ended up sending like an email and like kind of like a presentation to NHS, a really small one, like NHS East London. So it didn't have too much of like a huge client like having to approve anything. It's more just like, hey, what if you guys like did this like to raise awareness for like your small community? And they actually like went with it. It was really interesting. I was just like, what the hell, cool, like I'll just do this, like, and there was no money, no budget. It was just like, let's just do something like with you and see if it works. And yeah, they went with it. So we ended up like protecting like probably like 12 like random graffiti penises and like documenting it, like taking photos. And then we made like an Instagram page for it. So it was just like really interesting, like showing like different penises that were protected. And each of these graffiti penises like had like a call to action of where they could get free condoms and stuff like that. It was really simple. And then basically I sent an email to Campaign magazine, like, cause that was in my head. That was the only source that I kind of knew where I had like an ad before, and sent it to one of their reporters, Nicola Kemp. I don't think she works at Campaign anymore, but, she ended up wanting to write a story about this. And then I kind of saw the power of like, when you've got like a side hustle or anything like that, just sending an email to a reporter can do like the world of good. Like, not their like contact us page, but just going straight to the reporters being like, is this a story you want to write about? Like, let me know, happy to like do an interview with you. Like, and it's so much easier doing it that way. And so I ended up getting NHS like a kind of like collaboration, like interview out on Campaign, which then BuzzFeed saw. Someone at BuzzFeed saw it and they emailed me. because we did like a brief email page, like a Gmail. We set up a Gmail for this condom campaign, and it's so corny. It was like Chat with Dick. Like we named it so weirdly, like, and then we ended up having like a call with BuzzFeed New York, and doing like an interview, and that led like having like a full page like interview out on BuzzFeed with NHS and me, and we named it like anonymous person going around and doing this spray painting thing, and it had like links to the Instagram page as well. And it was interesting because as soon as we had like an interview out on BuzzFeed, Vice reached out to us, and then we were just like, okay, cool, let's do an interview with Vice. And then as soon as we had like those two contacts with the reporters and those two interviews go out, it was like a tsunami of like PR, because like everyone started like rewriting these articles. So like Teen Vogue, Cosmopolitan, Men's Health, like the list is like endless. Like, and Twitter was like talking about this, and like some kind of anonymous person is like protecting graffiti penises. Like, who would do that? Like, yeah. So we ended up just getting like crazy press, like,
and that's, yeah, just 12 penises, Matt, that you, it wasn't like you went around the whole of London and protected all the penises, it was just like, yeah, 12 penises,
and it's, yeah, just 12. And like we said to the reporters that like this anonymous person kept like a notepad of where these penises were. Like, it was so stupid, like, but the fact that like NHS were willing to have their name in these articles is like, it gave like a link back to people to click like to get like free condoms. So it was just kind of like really just a simple idea that like, it was just like, why don't we just do this and see if you want to run with it? And for some fortunate reason, they wanted to, and they were happy to do that. Like, and it was NHS Shine, which is like in East London. And I think there's only like 5 employees. So I think that's why we got away with it. There's just not many people that works there. And yeah, it was great. Like, yeah, it's really funny.
See, that's really interesting. The fact that you didn't go to the NHS generalist, you just went to like a small kind of sub NHS, like East London group, and you approached them. And that's really clever to go that way.
I think it was because I knew while working on Coca-Cola, I know how big brands have so many layers to go through. Like, whereas the small brands, like, you can just kind of throw them an idea and be like, would you want to do this together? Like, this is like an idea or presentation or a pitch. Like, I think smaller brands are more willing to do stuff, like, because there's less people to approve as well. Like, so it's really interesting.
I think it was really the NHS link that made it so effective and go viral as well.
Yeah, because like supposedly like their website clicks went up by like 144% like in a month. Like, they had like, they gave me all the stats of like how well it did for them as well, which is like, it's one thing like having like a viral project, but it's like another thing that it like actually helps their business. Like, people actually clicked like to go to the NHS and be like, oh, it's legit, like, and which is really cool. Like, yeah, I didn't want to like bore you with like rattling off, or bore like the viewers rattling off like how viral it went. It's kind of like, like,
it's interesting because I remember seeing it. And at what point did you decide to call it a day? How long did you run it for? Was it just like a few months and then you thought, okay, that's done, let's leave it there? Because I think sometimes of side hustles, a few of them are just instant projects. You know, you launch them out into the world, and then you let go and you move on to something else. Is that what you did, or did you try and keep evolving it and changing it, or?
Well, on the Instagram page, loads of people DM'd us where different penises were, which is really funny. But I think after seeing it go, like, I had like people reaching out from like Mexico and Spain, and like it was just crazy. And like I feel like when we knew like it was getting press in like different countries, like we were just like, I think we just kind of like stopped like doing it, because it was just like at some point it's gonna get to a too big where it's like none of us can kind of like handle it. Like, and I feel like that kind of side project like was so simple enough that it didn't need to like keep going. Like it was just like, we're just gonna protect like a significant amount of penises, launch it out into the world, and as long as it has like a call to action to like the NHS, like there's no need to do like 50 or 60. Like we're getting like tons of press as it is. Like, I mean, if you're going viral in like France, Spain, America, UK, like there's no need to go anymore. Like you're kind of covering the whole world. Like, so yeah, I think like we kind of just, after like protecting like 12, like it's, we just called it a day. Like, yeah.
So it was run like a mini campaign for the NHS with covering penises as your side hustle. And then what did that do for you? What doors did that then unlock?
So it was interesting because like loads of what I did with the Instagram page is follow loads of creative directors and ECDs, and it's kind of cheeky, but it's just like, in my head I was like, if I'm getting all this fame, let's just follow loads of creative directors and ECDs and just get my name on their radar, like, or get this like campaign or idea on their radar, like, because it's kind of, from my perspective, and hopefully it's like not a ego thing, it's more just like, if I'm able to like make a side hustle go viral by myself, like it's kind of like you'd expect like a whole like an advertising agency to do that. Like, so in my head I was like, if I'm able to like get on their radar or get on their map, or like at least have like this like graffiti condom Instagram page like follow people in this industry, I think that's gonna help like just get my name out there even more, or get the campaign out there even more. Because it's kind of like, if people see this, they're just like, holy shit, like who did this? Like, and it was just different at that time, because most of advertising books, they all just look the same out of like ad school. So for me, it was like, I didn't go to an ad school, and like, I'm gonna have to work twice as hard to like get into these agencies. Like, so let's just like, just completely break all these rules and break all these traditions. It's just like, otherwise it's kind of like, I had this weird like thought of like, if like I just go with the rules, like I'm just gonna not get anywhere. Like, so yeah, I followed all these CDs and ECDs, and it actually like put my name on the radar of like Wyden, Mother, like all these like great agencies. And I started to really look at creative directors that are like doing work that I really loved. So I reached out to like creative directors at like Wyden Portland, like different agencies, like, and it put me on their radar, and it actually gave me an opportunity to work at Wyden in London. So this is going to sound crazy, but basically, I went from, again, a full-time junior art director job to an internship at Wyden, because for me, I was like, if I'm able to work at these great agencies, that's going to help bridge like a gap to different places. So I ended up leaving Publicis and like leaving the Coke account and everything like that just for a three-month internship at Wyden. Which sounds absolutely bonkers. Like, I don't know who would do that. Like, but for me as well, it's like, it just might lead me to somewhere different, or somewhere where I was like feeling like I could like do these creative side hustles or creative projects. Like, and I just wanted to just feel like I was like in a place where other people were like obviously doing work that I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Like, how can I learn from these people? So packed in the job at Publicis and went to Wieden for a couple of months. And then that ended up bridging a gap to Mother. So I went to Mother after Wieden. And then I ended up just having like a freelance gig at Mother. So it was like month to month, just like extending it. And we were working on like crazy projects, like Lion Cereal. We did like a perfume, like a cereal-based perfume for them. And it was so different to working on like, a brand like Coke. Like, we're just doing like cereal perfume. And yeah, so I ended up working at Mother for like 8 months. But during the time I was at Mother, I got in contact with Zach Canfield, who's like the recruiter at Goodby. Kind of sketchy way of doing it, but like they flew me out to San Francisco for an interview for like a job at Goodby. And at that time, obviously, because I was freelancing at Mother, I was like, okay, well, shit, like, if I'm getting offered a full-time job in San Francisco, let's just try it. Like, so I went for an interview there, because the guys over at Goodby saw my condom work as well, which is like another benefit of like following all these people. And I ended up going for an interview at Goodby's, and pretty much like 3 hours after my interview, they offered me the job, and I was like, what the fuck? Like, it's just kind of crazy. And so I accepted the job, and then it was just like a visa process moment, if that makes sense. So pretty much like 8 months of sorting out my visa as well as working at Mother. So it's like 9 to 5 I was working at Mother, and then like 5 to 9 was doing the visa. And it was kind of difficult because, like, obviously visa process, they have to like basically qualify you that you're like supposedly like an extraordinary talent, and when you've got like a graffiti penises in your portfolio, it's kind of hard to qualify that as extraordinary talent. But what was really nice, what I will say, is I was really open with Mother and said to them, like, look, this is going on, like, my visa's getting approved, like, I hope you don't mind me like doing this and like going to America and stuff. And they are actually like very nice and told me, like, you should do this. This is a good opportunity for you. And I just kind of like having that open conversation of being like, hey, this is going on. And just being really just open to like the ECDs. And I think it's just, you don't really get that in this industry like that much. Like, people just being honest with people, like, it feels like a very much like this industry of like, say, advertising. It's just like very secret kind of conversations between people. And it's just, I don't know. I think it's mainly as well like my background. Like, I'm just kind of like non-traditional. So like, I just kind of wanted to do these things. After a while, I was just working with the guys for my visa, and then it ended up getting approved. And it was like, it was crazy because it was probably like 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I was working at Mother, and I got an email on my Gmail account saying like, my visa's been approved. And I literally had to like go out of the agency to be like, what the fuck? Like, like, I'm going to America for like 3 years. What the hell? Like, so that was funny because I was like, I didn't think it was possible. But I think when you have like a good like belief in yourself, like, and just a good confidence of like about your work, like, I feel like it's a good place to start because it can really project like where you go and stuff like that. So yeah, so then I flew out to like Goodby's, and only one suitcase, nothing much, one pair of boots, and I've been here for like a year and a half now.
Wow, what a story. It's fascinating, Matt, because it's always interesting for people to hear different stories. And I'd say hustle and resilience is something that is very much like associated with yourself. Being cheeky as well. Like, nobody minds someone being cheeky as long as they can back it up. Like, and bending the rules and trying your luck, and because if you don't, then the worst thing people can ever say is no. And I think too many people are afraid of approaching a big like creative director and them just saying no. But what if they say yes, actually, and then in fly you over to America for an interview? Yeah. And so did they sponsor you for your visa application and everything?
Yeah, they did it all, and it was really interesting. I mean, what I will say as well, what you're bridging off of what you just mentioned, is like, at the end of the day, that like, they're just people, like everyone's just a person, like, and like, if you think about it as well, like the people that are so high up have like been in your shoes, so they're gonna have like a level of understanding. And if they're gonna say no, like, they're saying it in the, like, the nicest way, or the at least the politest, like, where it doesn't hurt your feelings. And sometimes like a decision of yes and no is like, it sometimes it's a reflection of you, or it's not a reflection of you, it's just like the situation. Maybe places are just not hiring, like they'll love your work, but like I would also say, like, if places say no, just don't be like angry about it. Be just like, okay, cool, like, let's keep in touch, like, just like have like a cool sensibility about it, like, so yeah, that's what.
Yeah, I agree with you there, because it's, people remember that. Sometimes no's not yet. I've had situations where I put people forward for jobs, and at that time that agency may have gone with someone else, or, and then they've then come to me and said, oh, is that person available still? And then that person has got the job later down the line. But it's all about how they how you respond to rejection is as important in this industry, especially, as how you respond as when things go your way.
And everyone's got different tastes as well, so like, what, someone might not like your book, but someone else will be like, this is phenomenal. Like, it's all just, it's all on taste as well. Like, everyone's got different opinions, and people that actually end up liking your work, like, will help project you in the right area as well. Like, they'll help like nurture you, like, whereas like someone that like said no, like, probably not like the right people that will nurture you, like, or it's just loads of different variables, like. But I would agree, like, just if someone says no, take it on the head, just be like, all right, cool, like, speak to you soon, like.
Definitely. What's it like in San Francisco compared to London?
It's a different climate. Like, London is always like that rat race kind of culture, like, which is pretty much like New York, where it's like work, work, work. Like, whereas in San Francisco, it's like California lifestyle is so different. It's like, they're very much like, you do like, do like the best work you can possible, but also take time to go on a hike, like, go out, like, go. They take like the whole work-life balance like very like seriously, it was kind of like a culture shock for me in the first year. Like, I was like, it was like 5 p.m. and everyone's out of the office. I was like, what's going on? Like, why am I the only one here?
Like up in the hills.
Yeah. But it was really interesting, because it was like most weekends people went to like Yosemite National Park, or like different
places. Yosemite. It's beautiful there.
Yeah. And I was like, what? Like, this is a thing? Like, so, yeah, it's very different. It's like kind of just more like work-life balance. Like, they really like that over here, which is really cool.
Yeah, I think so. Out of everywhere I've visited, San Francisco has been the number one place I felt like it was home. I just really liked it. It feels more European, I think, San Francisco. Out of everywhere in America, like, you go to LA and that's like a whole different vibe. But then you go down to San Francisco and it just feels very different.
I love it. Like, I feel like very lucky to like be over here. It's like, it's really cool, especially working at like Goodby Sourcing Parts. I mean, like, Jeff and Rich are like legends over here, and like as well, like, it's quite funny, last week, like, I was, like, in an email chain with, like, Jeff and Rich just talking about stuff, and it's just, like, a couple of years ago, I wouldn't have thought, like, about doing that, like, whereas, like, when you have that, like, thought in your head being, like, they're just people at the end of the day, just talk to them like they're your mates down the pub, like, and everything will be fine, and, yeah, it's very interesting.
Yeah, definitely. So how did you then become a judge for DNAD?
So basically, with like the all of my story of like just going like the unorthodox approach into this industry, I got talking with DNAD maybe last year about the side hustle category and just being like, just telling my story and saying like, I'd love to like represent like or be on this jury because it feels very fitting, especially like breaking into the industry. Yeah, it just felt very fitting, like, because side hustle is all about like the hustle and like all about like the untraditional approach. So I just sent them an email, like different people at DNAD, and just really wanted to like represent what side hustle meant, like. And especially as like, it's kind of crazy because it's like, I haven't won any awards, I haven't done anything like that. It's just, I've just like hustled my way in, like, so yeah, I just sent a couple of people an email and then had an interview with DNAD and, just ended up being on this year's, jury, which is like, yeah, super like honored to be on that, to be honest.
So you hustled your way in, because people ask all the time, like, how do I get in with DNAD? And I can't feed people the answers. They have to go and hustle it themselves, because that's the thing with DNAD. It's like reaching out and like looking. There's different categories as well, and you need to approach them about the category that makes you right to be a judge.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I was just polite about it as well. Like, I was just kind of like, this is my story. This is how I like did a side hustle and it went viral. Like, would you be happy for me to like be on the jury this year and represent what side hustle means? And thankfully they were like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, no, honestly, it was great to have you on the jury as well, Matt. That was such a good day. It was intense though, wasn't it? All that judging.
Yeah.
But I am such a fan of side hustles. I always have been. I love them. And it's a really, the way that I became a judge is kind of went around a completely different route to then be approached to them for the first time round. But by the way, anyone else that's like, anyone that's tuned in, I'm allowed some time for Q&A. So if you've got any questions that you'd like to ask Matt, just pop those in the Q&A box at the bottom and we'll get to those as well. So, what advice would you give to any junior starting out in the industry at the moment?
In terms of like design or like art direction or advertising, I would say
all of it. Art direction,
backing out, all right.
Take your pick.
I would say, so advice for like juniors, like I would say in terms of advertising, look at different creative directors that are doing like interesting work that you're like, you like, and it sounds crazy, but just like bookmark their portfolio, like look out for their like portfolios online and their like personal emails, like, and try and reach out to people and just like try and get like your work in front of people and see what they think of it. You don't have to change like your portfolio to fit every place you want to work at. Like, your portfolio should reflect your personality and your style. And at the end of the day, if you're like going into freelance, like people are going to hire you on your style. Like, but I would also say like, don't try and copy anyone, because it's going to like basically fall at the end of the day, because you kind of want to have like your own voice on what you think is nice, what you think is cool. And also, you don't want to work at a place where you're having to like copy styles. You're just like having to like, you just want to work at a place where you feel like you can be like, this is what I like to do, like this is like who I am. And that's like in terms of advertising, like with design as well, like I would just keep your portfolio open, like as in like don't have like one set style, like, or if you do have one set style, like I would run with it, like, and yeah, hopefully that's I mean, it's kind of like a bit like broad advice, but I think the best thing for juniors to do is just look at people that like inspire you and reach out to them, and especially like as everyone's like quarantined at the moment, I don't know about the UK, but like people are like more open to like chat now, like they're not like down like a Cafe Nero having a coffee, like they're in their room, like so I would say like my advice is like just reach out to creative directors, try and get your book in front of people that you really want to work for, and don't change your book according to the agency, just keep your book, like make sure it just has a good reflection of who you are.
Well, that's exactly what like Rebecca Watson said from Squint Opera. She said just keep your voice in there, like what makes you as a creative? Why is someone going to hire you with your ideas and your input? And it is so important to have your voice in there and what you're about, and research is key. I'm always saying this to people, is look at where you want to work. But it's interesting what you say about creative directors you want to work for and then approach them. But that's a really intelligent process of reaching out to someone and letting them know why you want to work for them by talking through examples of their own work that you admire. And then you're really going to get their attention because they're going to be A, flattered by that. And that's a nice like soft approach when you're trying to win over a creative director to take you under their wing.
Yeah, and someone at Goodby said, I think it was Zach Canfield, the recruiter, he said like, keep your portfolio like a smash hit album. So like you listen to the first song and you're like, oh, this is wicked. You listen to the next one, this is wicked. So you have like six hits in your portfolio and you're like, these are bangers. Like you just want people to like listen to like your first project and be like, oh my God, like what's the next one? Oh my God. Like, yeah, that was like really solid advice because it makes you think about, okay, it's quality, not quantity. So that's like really good.
Yeah, I love that. Keep your portfolio like a smash hits album. Advice. Definitely.
Yeah, it just made me think about like, oh, how like Sum 41, like just like no filler or killer kind of thing. Like it's just really interesting.
Definitely. What's it like over there in regards to COVID? Obviously, we've had the pandemic over here, and the UK market has been hit quite badly, actually. And I don't think things are going to pick up over here for a while. What's it like in San Francisco at the moment?
It's quite, the quarantine is quite serious. Like people are like, yeah, if you're out, wear a mask, sanitize. Yeah, pretty much like, it's quite serious. I mean, like, for me as a Brit, I'm just basically like staying in. I'm just like, I don't want to catch anything. I don't want to like harm anyone. Like, I'm just like, if I stay in, just keep quarantined and just work, like it's fine. Yeah, it's not too bad. I mean, I bought an exercise bike so I can do some cycling.
Nice.
So I've done that. That just gives me like a good routine to have. So like from like lunchtime, I'll do like an hour cycle and then I'll just get on with work, and it kind of gives me like a good like time to just like breathe and not think about anything. And just, it's kind of like if I went out for a walk and just wore a mask, it's like that kind of nice breathing space. But yeah, I would say it's very, I think I've seen like what it's like over in the UK, like you guys are like not taking it, like you're kind of like not taking it as harshly, right? Like there's like some places that are opening up.
Yeah, London, I've literally just moved back to London at the weekend, and I was in lockdown in a village in Kent for 4 months, and it's a different world in London. it's almost feels like normal. The only place people wear masks is on the tube, but you go in the parks and you walk in the streets and bars are open, etc. And there's a bit of distancing. Like, I've worked from a coffee shop today, but yeah, it feels relatively normal-ish at the moment.
That's crazy. I think it's as well in America, like the numbers, the death rate numbers are so high. Like, yeah. I think that's why it's taken more seriously, because they kind of did what you guys are doing over in the UK. Is like they kind of opened up some places, but then the number of like people that caught COVID in one day was like, it like went so high. So they just stopped again and they've just put everyone back in quarantine. So it's kind of scary, but at the same time, like, it's kind of, you just kind of like respect like what's going on and you try your best to like lower the numbers. And if that means like staying in quarantine and wearing your mask and sanitizing, then like that's what most of us are doing.
But it seems like in America it's still very much business is not as normal, whereas I think in the UK market it really affected the work that was coming in, the fact that everyone's in lockdown. But America seems to be like a machine, it just keeps working regardless. And are you quite busy at the moment work wise
yeah, I'm so busy, like yeah, it's interesting. I think because Goodbees has got like a really good kind of different clients that people need right now. So like internet, like everyone needs it right now, like to do Zoom calls. So we've got like Comcast as a client who are like basically internet. So work-wise, like touch wood, like everything's like going great. Like there's just like, yeah, there's just a need for internet right now and a need for like food and delivery. So it's okay. I mean, like, we're trying our best to just basically keep focused on the work, have like a good positive attitude, and it's kind of like everything bad always passes anyway. Like there's always going to be tough times, and it's just you have to have like a really good resilient kind of frame of mind of being like, okay, like this is like a tough time right now. Like things might not be going my way, but like this isn't like all set in stone. Things are going to change soon. And like, if I can just hold out until things like start changing, then like things will get better, if that makes sense.
Well, the only thing constant is change, and things will get better. I remember when I first started out in recruitment, it wasn't long after the last recession. And I was just doing what I'm doing now. I'm meeting loads of talented, amazing creatives. And then the market started to pick up, and then they all got jobs and got employed. And then I was interviewed by Computer Arts Magazine in 2005. And I remember saying, the market is so buoyant right now, creators can pretty much ask whatever money they want. And that was like the top of the article. So everything, it goes in swings and roundabouts, it dips, it goes back up again. And that's the message I've been saying to people, just like, hang on in there. We will get through this. It seems shit right now, but just it will change and things will get back to normal. Well, they're not normal, right? It will never go quite back to how it was. But do you think consumer mindsets have changed since the pandemic as well, after people have had a chance to reflect and have some more downtime?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, I think like being in quarantine has definitely given people like more time to like reconsider work-life balance. Like, so you have like say 5 p.m. or 6 p.m. is your cutoff time, and you're like, okay, I'm not doing any work now. I need to take a break. Like, and I feel like people are like really taking that into consideration now. Like, whereas like people before might have like stayed at an agency until 9 p.m. and been like, this is so tough. Whereas now it's like staying at home and working until 9 p.m. is like, it's given people a different like insight of like how, what's like working and what's not. And as well, like sometimes like pitches or client calls, like you don't need to fly to a different country for that. You can just do it on Zoom now. So I feel like coming out of this, it's going to change like consumers and like how we approach like do we really need to like travel all of this way to like have like a client call, like, or like a client presentation? Like, can we just like have Zoom now? Like, it's just given us like a different way of working, I reckon.
Yeah, definitely. I know there's those like London clients I've spoken to that are like, yeah, we just used to jump on a plane and fly to a different country for a 1 hour meeting, pitch, and fly back. And actually now they're like, well, we're thinking more of our carbon footprint, and let's just, as you say, Matt, just present it over Zoom. It's been good enough during lockdown. Let's keep that going. So we've got a question here from Megan, who said, I'm keen to be a junior art director, but I don't really have experience. Do you have any advice on how to go about getting the experience needed? Thanks, amazing chat too. So I guess that's like the 1 minute brief thing that you said, Matt. But is there anything else for like a junior art director that would be sound advice?
Yeah, I would say, so thanks for the question. Is it Megan? Did you say? Yeah, so hey Megan, I would say, yeah, look up 1 minute briefs, which is a Twitter page. And also, if you need like more advice, like feel free to like hit me up on my email, which is Matt, I can drop it in the Q&A if you want, or I can say it on here, which is like mattwaynedunn@gmail.com. And I'll happily give you more advice. It's mattwaynedunn@gmail.com. Yeah, so I would say, yeah, 1 minute briefs, hit me up on an email and I'll give you advice. But I would also say as well, like, look at like different podcasts. So a great podcast is like Don't Get Me Started, which is like basically, it's like a podcast where a advertising teacher interviews different people from the industry, and at the end of this podcast they always give out their email, so you can like learn different advice. And I would also say as well, like, don't like listen to just one podcast, like just listen to like loads, like, because that's going to give you like really sound advice, as well as like searching on YouTube, like different videos, like searching different advertising agencies, so like Drogify, Wieden & Kennedy, Mother, search them on YouTube and search for like different chats, because that's really going to give you like a really good insight of like this industry, and how to kind of like build a portfolio and like get in to this industry, because it's really hard. Like, when there's always that weird thing of like, like when you're a junior, you're always seen as like least experienced, and that's like a really horrible like a watermark over you, where you're like, oh no, like no one's gonna listen to me because I'm like supposedly junior. But I feel like if you search for like different creative directors and like people that you like love their work, like, and email them or even drop them like a DM or like LinkedIn message, like people will like help you with advice as well. And yeah, try and, I think like that's like best advice.
Yeah, no, that's really good advice actually. But yeah, so that was the main question. But thank you so much, Matt, for your time. Like, I really appreciate it. And there's some really great insight there, and especially for like relocating over to San Francisco. And I think what a lot of people can take from this is be a bit cheeky and go about around it a different way. Don't just go the kind of normal route that you'd expect people would take. And if you're not necessarily from advertising, or you didn't go to advertising college or school, that doesn't mean you can't get into the industry. And that's really important for people.
Especially like back in the day, like advertising used to have like butchers and like fishmongers working in advertising. Like, I mean, Mark Denton, who's like a really great person in this industry, he got his brother, who like didn't work in advertising, supposedly he like, his brother was like great at writing poems, so he got his brother to write some like scripts for Heineken, and like it's just really interesting. It's just like this industry, yeah, you can go to an advertising school, that will help give you like a great strategic mind, but like this industry thrives off of people in the real world, like thrives off of like real insight of like what's going on in the streets. Like it's like, yeah, hopefully that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And advertising, it is open. It's not like another profession where you have to train to be a doctor, right? Or a vet, etc. It is one of those industries where people just, anyone I've spoken to from all industry leaders, VaynerMedia, Pentagram, etc., it's all about what is your opinion as a creative and how do you tell stories and how do you think and how do you see the world and how can you package that up as a designer? And things like, you know, hierarchies and typography and every talk I've done, people have said, look, there's lots of skills that can be taught on the job, but things like attitude and outlook and perspective seems to be the most important thing. And
yeah, because as well, like, I think this industry needs people from the outside, like it needs like these kind of like an orthodox like approach to like different solutions, like yeah, I think like just being like treating everyone like as like people, like at the end of the day, and like having like that kind of frame of mind, being like, these guys like have been where I've been, like and like they're gonna understand you like no matter what, like and as well, like I would say, like one thing I would say is like some side hustles are gonna like get like go viral, some don't, and I wouldn't let that discourage you. Like, just if it goes viral, see it as like a cherry on top of your cake. Like, just do something that you're passionate about, and if it goes viral, that's like a plus. Like, it's kind of like, don't start a side hustle wanting it to go viral, because it's going to really discourage you if it doesn't. So just like have that good frame of mind of being like, some things take time. Like, sometimes it's like not a straight narrow path to get to somewhere. Like, you're going to have like loads of hiccups. Like, trust me, I've had so many hiccups. Like mine isn't just like an overnight success. It's just like, it's like one thing after another. Like, and you have to have like a really good frame of mind of being like, I might not get to this place tomorrow, but like I'll get to this place someday.
Yeah.
So hopefully that's
sound of five.
Yeah.
Being resilient and persistent will get you far. But I'll let you go, Matt, because I know you're so busy, but I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much. And yeah, take care, and I'll speak to you soon. Thanks everyone that tuned in as well.
Thank you.
Take care, bye-bye.
Bye.